B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Joe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand coming to you live from Warrior today. Bruins getting ready for a big matchup at the Garden tonight, 617-779-0985. Mike Freeman, now writing for Bleacher Report, longtime NFL writer, has his 10-point stance. He writes this up all the time, and the headline is, NFL may look to set example in punishing Kraft. Well, that's not a fun headline. That's not one you're looking for. Number one in the 10-point stance for Mr. Mike Freeman. Could Robert Kraft lose the Patriots? Okay. All right now.
You sure it's not Bart Scott?
Everyone, let's calm down for a minute.
By the way, following the rule of...
Considering the most recent news coming out of Florida.
Following the rule of most print journalism, anything that starts with a question, either in a headline or a column header like that, Beetle, the answer is almost always no. So go ahead and see what he has to say.
And so he writes, there are a range of beliefs from teams about how all of this could play out from a disciplinary perspective. One theory holds that if the accusations prove true, the NFL could simply fine Kraft six figures and not suspend him. Well, that's a far cry from the headline.
I thought he was he's not losing his team?
The entire legacy suspension.
They're not going to take his legacy away?
Mike Freeman writes, sure? This would make sense, especially since the early suggestion by law enforcement that the spa was involved in human trafficking has yet to be confirmed in the form of criminal charges.
Doesn't look like it's going that way.
However, the general consensus I hear from speaking to people in the league who are guessing is that if the accusations against Kraft are proved accurate, the NFL will punish Kraft more severely than it did Irsay or DeBartolo, going all the way back to the 49ers.
It's funny, Irsay's actually on record. Got caught with the pills and the money. A female passed away because of an OD in his condo.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A lot of things that Irsay did look a hell of a lot worse, and I'm not comparing the two.
But you can compare the two.
But if Robert Kraft goes and serves classes, and it's not even on his record, and the whole thing's retracted, how's he going to get fined more than Irsay did?
Or suspended more.
Suspended. Irsay got more, 6 games.
Yeah.
It's 6 or less. It's not 6 or more. It's not losing your team.
Does he say anything about losing the team there?
Starting to look like they're using him as the big fish here, and as far as the authorities, because it was all human trafficking.
One of the 10-point stance, yeah.
He says there is another scenario that could ultimately be even more dramatic for the team.
Okay.
If there is damaging video evidence of Kraft engaged in an illicit act that becomes public, some wonder if Kraft would be so embarrassed that he would feel compelled to transfer control of his team to his son Jonathan and disappear from public eye. From the public eye. The NFL may get off the hook in having to decide a potential punishment, but it would lose one of its most influential voices. So the way he presents that is not that the league would take the team away, but that if the video were to surface, due to the embarrassment and the look of that, that the team would decide to go the route of Jonathan taking over and Robert stepping back.
I don't know how the league forces their hand on that, and I can't imagine Jonathan.
They're not going to.
Or Robert.
Are going to go
to that point. I wonder, though, if the...
I think you're delusional, though, if you think he's getting off with a fine and no games.
Okay.
I think you're nuts.
Fine, games. There was talk of draft picks early on in this process.
That would be insane, too.
Nah, it's not the on-field team stuff.
That would be insane. I agree. But if it came to that point, if it's something that damages the team or the team's ability to succeed, do you think Robert would agree to some kind of different role with the team if it were to help alleviate damaging the team and their future when it came to draft picks or some other sanction? I can't think of another sanction on the team that would affect their ability to win down the road. But do you think he would maybe consider it then?
Over a draft pick? No.
See, the tough thing with Irsay, too, there's been this build where he's been out of control and there's incident after incident after incident. This is a one time and hopefully wrong place, wrong time, and that weekend. Two times on that one weekend.
That wrong place.
What do you think he's going to get? What do you think he's going to get?
I think he's going to get fined.
No suspension.
I don't think he's going to get suspended.
I think he's getting I think he's getting exactly what Irsay got.
500,000, six games.
I think he's going to get the 6 games and the half a mil or possibly more.
If he plead,
I have no idea on the money if they say that was a few years ago and now our fines are a little higher. I don't know.
If he
who cares?
If he pleads out of it and it's not on the record and there's
but that's not what they're suspending on. They're suspending on the act that they know to be true.
I understand
true,
that
they believe
which is
to be
an illegal
true,
act.
And the embarrassment the league has suffered as a result. This isn't a criminal court.
And by the way, Zoe.
And he's got all the money in the world. It's
nothing for another. Wrong place.
Embarrassment, you can't bring back.
Wrong place, wrong time is when you're in a nightclub and a fight breaks out.
Yeah.
That's wrong place, wrong time. This isn't wrong place, wrong time.
No. Nope.
I still don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I don't think it's something, you know, deserving of a $500,000 fine and being forced to spend time away from your team. But let's call it what it is and what it isn't. And what it isn't is wrong place, wrong time.
If it were completely fair and it were, you know, weighing Irsay's versus, you know, Kraft's. And by the way, Irsay's, when they suspended him 6 games, where'd they come up with that number? They just made it up. They decided six.
That's what they do.
Therefore, it was six.
That's what they do. They did it with Roethlisberger. Right? They do it with Brady. You know?
So I would say that if it were fair, he'd get 3 or 4 and a fine. But it's not going to go that way because there is no way the league is going to want to look weak against the Patriots. And there's no way they're going to make it look like Kraft is one of the favorite owners of Roger Goodell. They've already been accused of that in the past. They were accused of that when they were destroying tapes for Spygate, when the league destroyed all the evidence. Other owners in the league were pissed that that happened. And so they're not going to go down that road again. And all I can say is, no, I don't think they're going to get a draft pick. But if they ever get caught in something again with the league, football related, they're going to wipe them out. Well, they're going to hammer them.
I think they more than made up for the destroying of the Spygate tapes with the way they went after the team and Deflategate.
Well, that was part of it. That was part of their motivation.
I think you know, all things are once again equal in terms of, you know, how
do you think they view it that way?
The other owners?
Yeah.
They should.
They don't. You know that's not how they're going to feel.
Well, what special treatment have they gotten since then?
You act like the owners are all, you know, fair-minded people that don't have any sort of emotion or hatred for the Patriots. Yeah. I mean, come on, Artie.
I know that they have that built-in hatred.
Billionaires. Are you kidding me?
I know they have that built-in hatred, too, but you do have the guys like Jerry Jones that probably engage in a hell of a lot worse. They're saying in the back of their minds.
Why do you keep saying that? What is that? That's unfair to Jerry Jones.
Oh, is it?
No. Yeah, it is.
If you had to pick one of the owners that was going to get mad,
it's not a defense of Robert Kraft. I find that so mean. Oh, Jerry Jones has a stripper pole on his bus and strippers. Okay. Were any of them, you know, conducting in prostitution?
The pictures of him groping women from behind on both breasts and smiling for the camera, those aren't good for Jerry. And I would just assume if he does that in public and lets you take the picture, there's some stuff that must go on behind the scenes that
he's not trying to hide it.
Let's not put the screws to Robert here.
I understand what Zoe is saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that.
I assume based on
but
Jerry's
here's the problem
alone
with this, though. You can't say, no big deal, Robert Kraft, and then say, but look at Jerry Jones.
Give me some glory hole.
What has he done? He's had strippers on his bus? Well, okay. So?
He hasn't broken any laws.
What's unlawful about it? In fact, he'll put it out on display for you.
Yep.
He's not trying to hide anything.
And we're the Dallas Cowboys. We'll make them police reports go away. You get busted down here, we'll call the cops. Don't worry. We'll take care of it. I think stuff goes away in Dallas. That's all.
It's never gone away here in New England. I'm not talking about owner. I'm talking about players.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Goes away everywhere.
Yeah.
Wherever there's an NFL team, things tend to go away.
Cowboys a little different. They look at themselves a little different. So.
All right. I don't know how that offers a defense for anything to do enter the conversation.
When you get in the group and you really want to put the screws to someone, it's always like that. And I know we always said it with Robert and the way Bounty Gate came down. Until you're the one on the other side,
I tell you what it is, Beetle. It's not a defense, but what it is something that can be, and I believe probably will be. Maybe not officially. Maybe not in any recorded notes during, you know, Goodell and the disciplinary committee's meetings. But it's something that gets factored in when they're adjudicating to deciding a reasonable punishment for an owner in a situation like this. They have to ask themselves, what are we going to do when something comes out about Jerry. Why'd they settle with Kaepernick?
We don't want conversations and texts probably getting out there that we've had amongst
ourselves. Right, which is why the other owners are probably pissed at Robert Kraft. How did you let this get out like this?
Yeah.
Now everyone's looking at us.
And
like,
we
got to
pay Kaepernick because of the way we talk.
Now there's more people watching us than ever before.
Yeah.
What are you doing? That could be the case, too.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. I know we were going to play that audio of Golden Tate. We'll push that off, Hardy. So you will hear it eventually, okay?
You'll hear
it eventually.
Thank you.
We will get to that. But we have a guest joining us right now at Warrior.
Krug!
That is Bruins defenseman Torrey Krug. What's going on?
What's up, guys? What's up?
Well, sweet. These are one of those perforated sweaters. You see these on, like, Facebook. You could order them. Like, they pop up. Where'd you get that?
Something tells me you didn't get it on Facebook.
New Balance store, right next door.
Oh,
right next door.
Like, they keep you warm or something? Like,
yeah, it's pretty warm.
Is that soundproof?
Yeah.
It's like it's like northern bath tissue. It's nice. May I touch it?
Things are getting weird here.
Nice.
No, yeah,
that's nice.
Big one tonight, huh?
Yeah, no, it's a big match. We're excited. Obviously, a great team coming in, and we're feeling really good about our game right now too. So, very excited.
Were you impressed with the way Coyle and Johansson kind of fit right in? I mean, Coyle had a couple of games, but a lot of us, you know, we're watching him. Okay, now we're going to see him at home. We're going to see how he plays here. And it was a first chance to see Marcus the other night, too. Seemed pretty seamless, the transition with getting those guys in there.
Yeah, I think both guys are just really intelligent players, so they can read off of each other. And, you know, Charlie's got a he can play in the middle of the ice and play a few different roles for us. So it's exciting to have a guy like that and what he brings to the table. He's a big guy that plays hard at both ends of the ice. And Marcus is... Man, he's got so much skill. It's pretty impressive to watch. And those are the types of players that you don't see every day. And when you get to see them up close and personal in practice and see all the skill that they actually bring to the table, it's pretty impressive.
How's Marshawn in a room with him?
Put the lockers next to each other?
And break each other's balls or anything?
Yeah, I guess they cleared the air. So it's, nothing's going on there. But I know it's...
Is it awkward at all when, like, you guys are, like, all together for the first time and, like, kind of seeing them near each other?
You know, I was actually kind of excited to see what was going to happen there.
What are you doing? You're like downtown, your skates, you're looking up. You don't really want, no eye contact. Everything gets quiet in a room when he walks in.
Yeah, I think someone made a comment before the first game about it, and JoJo was all laughs. That's his nickname, so JoJo. Yeah, and he was all laughs about it, so swept it under the rug.
Coyle have a nickname yet?
Red.
Charlie number one.
Yeah. Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't, but it's kind of just a stab at Charlie number two.
I like that. I remember Sean Thornton a few years back. We asked him in an interview about that. Like, what happens after you've, kicked some guy's ass and then you have to become his teammate? Because it had happened to him, and he's like, nothing. Just say what's up.
It was so business-like for Thornton, though. And I think it's different for guys who it's like, that's part of my job. I have to go out there and do it. Whereas a guy like Marchand, he turned into like a legitimate scorer in this league. He's one of the elite goal scorers now. When he gets into stuff like that, it's tougher to make a case for him, I think, that it's part of his job.
Right, yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think, Thordy, it was all business, and the guys that he went toe-to-toe with, it was business for them as well. So anytime you welcome a new guy into a room like that, it's kind of just you don't even say anything, you don't acknowledge it, but this is a different situation, and like it's... I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is at all because, they both have handled it really well.
Yeah. I have a theory about one of the fights the other night between Chara and Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Chara, a lot of times, won't go with a guy. Even when they want to go, he kind of talks him off the ledge. It's like, look, you're going to get your ass beat here. You should know better. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Chara would have even let that go had Kane not gone over and punched him while he was still down on the ice.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But you have a good point. I think, Z knows how strong he is and how powerful he is. And a lot of times he wants to double check with guys before before they drop the gloves.
You really want to do that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's also, at least in Evander Kane, you're talking about a really skilled player who, if you're going and you both end up off the ice, well, that's a trade that you look at and say, you got two highly skilled players. But there are times when some jamoke will come at Char and he's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight you. Yeah. No, it's not worth it. It's going to hurt the team.
And he was bitching, too, like after, like, Char, he said he lunged and went up at him with a, how's your 6'9"? How the hell does he go up and extend the shoulder, try and go after him there? Like, you got to hit that.
I thought Kane came off like a huge crybaby the other night. I think most people did. I'm not trying to get you to say that.
That's good job.
I'm just telling you, that's what the world thinks.
Well, he's a tough guy, though. I think, he can throw him, too. So it's not like he held his own. He hung on there and did a good job. But that's part of the game.
We started our show talking. We did, like, first hour on all Celtics. They've lost four in a row, as you can tell. I mean, you're aware of the sports landscape, and it's now caller calls him bitching. Why'd you guys talk about the Bruins? Got one of the biggest games of the night.
He's still upset about
as
it.
As you've gotten on this run here, and you guys are playing at a really high level, do you circle this type of game tonight? I know it said I already asked you.
Why do you bring up that first part?
Well, it's guy bitching about not talking to Bruins. I said, we got a Bruin coming up. We knew it was going to be Krug. We're going to get to the Bruins eventually today. You should try doing this for 4 hours. You really should. Now, you sit there, and I know you say you laugh when you hear us, and we talk baseball or something. Yeah. So start talk hockey, and you turn the damn radio off.
So the question is, do you have this game circled on the calendar?
Yeah.
Okay.
To be honest, we've just been rolling along and haven't really paid attention to what's in front of us, and now we have a great team that's in front of us. So it's not like it was something that was foreseen in the future, like, hey, we have Tampa coming to town in a couple weeks, let's circle that one and wait till we get there. We've just been chugging along, and that's kind of been
People like us and fans do that. You guys know what you are, but do you feel like this is the type one that legitimizes us publicly?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, it does and it doesn't because, it's people are talking about how good Tampa is, and they're an unbelievable team, and, they've collected a lot of points this year, and they're way ahead of everyone else in the standings, but they've only collected two against us, so we've only played them once. We're looking forward to a great matchup, and it's a great test, and we obviously have some history with them playing them in the playoffs last year. They're a division rival, and we're excited to get things going again. Hopefully, it's a precursor to things down the road, and when we face them in the playoffs, and that's to win the Stanley Cup, you have to play great teams, and we get the first taste of it tonight.
You've been on teams, a bunch of different types of teams over the years in terms of mentality and the group and does it all fit together and does it all mesh? It really feels like it is with this team right now. Is that, and maybe we're just saying that because of how hot you guys have been and all the wins and the points that have been racked up, but do you feel that way about this team? That the group has really come together and as one?
For sure. I think when you look at things and the acquisitions we made at the deadline, it has allowed a lot of guys to fall into the appropriate roles and to play to their full potential. When you have heads up, when you have players playing in roles that they're not used to, or you're trying to get guys to play over and above their potential, it's tough for a team to reach their true potential. So we've acquired a couple guys that have allowed us to do that, and our goalies are playing well. Our D are defending extremely well, and our forwards are, we're starting to get that depth scoring. So when it's all coming together, and we want to continue to roll it as long as we can.
Can you help us understand something? We were watching Pastrnak out there skating before the rest of the guys came out today. And Zoe pointed out the fact that, look at him down there. He's up on like one toe, on one leg.
All the way down the ice.
Weaving all the way up and down the ice. How is that guy, the same guy, who managed to slip and fall while waiting for an
How good was that dinner?
I wasn't there. I have no idea.
Does anybody point that out? It's like, how is it that you can do that, but you can't stand and wait for a car without falling down?
Yeah, but you know what? I walk around the house and end up kicking a table every once in a while.
Oh, man.
That's the worst thing in the world.
Then you got to put the skates on.
Oh, my gosh. So
I break my toe every month. I break my toe every month.
Yeah.
It's just, I have no feeling it anymore.
I wish I had an answer for you guys. I'm sorry.
All right. He gave me the best advice, too, when he split. Remember when he split the top of one of your fingers open?
Oh, yeah.
And then I almost cut my finger off one year.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, man, I can't get the feeling bad. And he started talking about, there's going to be that burn. You're going to feel that burn.
Mm-hmm.
And then for about a month, man, it felt like, you're doing this, your hand's falling asleep.
Yeah.
That sucker burned. And all
what was the advice?
All the feeling came back. He said, be patient. Give it a month.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Yeah. Never forget that. It's
great
good
advice.
Stuff.
Thank
Should
you.
Have been a doctor.
Yeah.
All right, Torrey, thanks for stopping by.
Good luck. Thanks, guys.
All right, Torrey Krug, getting ready for a game tonight at the Garden. Our thanks to him for stopping on by here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rebound head up in the corner. Mo Harkless has got it. Gets it away to Damian Lillard. It'll hit triple zeros. And another difficult night and a difficult game to watch. This one comes in front of the home fans. Portland Trailblazers beat the Celtics in November, handing them their longest losing streak of the year at four. They've done it again tonight. Celtics playing poorly at a brutal portion of the schedule, and it has added up to four consecutive losses.
That's the voice of Sean Grandy last night on the final call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the voice of the Celtics joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sean, what's up?
How about that Bruins Lightning game?
Are you at the point where you don't want to talk about the previous game for the Celtics?
No,
you just want to look forward?
You know, there are times when you're in this job and they're having a lot of conversations like this that you kind of wish. I know Max often sits there going, come on, guys, let's win this game so I don't have to talk about it tomorrow kind of deal. But, this is now, I think there's an element of reality to what can be accomplished in the regular season now. And I think we all know, stepping back, they have to play better than they have been playing. But, A, the potential for that certainly exists. And, B, I think the notion of chasing this meticulous, high-seed, 60-win season, I think everybody finally now realizes what I think, you know, I've been saying, obviously, in this segment. We've been talking about it for a month now. All that's gone. So it's about figuring out how to get this team completely healthy and playing well together again, which, by the way, when you've done it, as they did for about a 38-game stretch where they played as well as anybody, if you've done it before during the season, you can do it again.
Do you believe it the way Kyrie believes it? That it's just...
I believe, it's Kyrie's job to have. Yeah. And by the way, I point out that one of the primary assets of last year's team, which everybody romanticizes about, and rightly so, that got within 5 minutes of the NBA Finals, I could sum up in two words: irrational confidence. And I don't think there's any substitute for it. There is nothing wrong with irrational confidence. And to tell you the truth, Kyrie Irving said earlier in the year, one of his post-game things, he said, listen, when they're trying to figure out the offense, I can score whenever I want. And it kind of got everybody sort of brushed over that comment. You know what? He's right, pretty much.
Right.
And what I've said a couple times here when you step back is that the Celtics have put themselves in a difficult position for the playoffs in that, unlike last year, they're going to have to win one series, two, maybe three, although I don't think so, on the road to get to the NBA Finals. That is true. But the only way they can do it, the reason that that can happen, that miraculous feat could be pulled off, is because they have Kyrie Irving.
And with him saying what he said last night, though, I feel like there's some duplicity there in that he's confident in himself, yet maybe not all that confident in his teammates. There's a lot of me versus them in what he was saying last night.
I think that I understand that interpretation. I think I have been guilty of this as well. I use the story, because a couple people, you know, sent me funny tweets about it. I use the expression Talmudic study to what we're doing, breaking down these Kyrie press conferences. Now we're spending more time. The way that coaches break down
monotonous
game film,
yep,
it's how we're breaking down the Kyrie postgame. Everyone's like waiting for the game to be over so we can run to Kyrie's locker and see what he's going to say after each game and break down. What is it? Does him saying I think we can win in the playoffs because I'm confident mean that he doesn't like the way Jaylen Brown runs the break in the second quarter? I mean, we've really, I think, taken it to a different place as far as trying. Now, granted, I think...
Yeah, but I think he's right. I'm with him.
Sean,
I think he's right. I think he can flip a switch, and he's right to think that way because he's Kyrie Irving, and it's what you just said, that if they're going to have a shot to win series playing games on the road, it's because of him. But if I were him, I wouldn't have the faith in the other guys on this roster to be able to flip that switch. They don't have that track record that he does.
And I would, I think all of that is true. I don't think that's what he said. That wasn't my interpretation of what he said last night. But if it is your interpretation of what he said, and he had actually said it, you could make a case for it. Again, I don't think he did. But the point is that now, as you sit here, it's always fascinating. Every year this happens at some level. You have these crazy highs and crazy lows. A long time ago, I said this thing, and Max's eyes opened up wide because he loved it. And it's that when you, and it's because it's as true in life as it is in basketball and pro sports and college sports, whatever. When you are winning, it feels like you will never lose again. And when you are losing, it feels like you will never win again. the pressure, everything changes. This entire regular season, let's say the Celtics finished fourth and they beat Indiana in the first round, okay? Everything about everything that's happened now, every press conference, every bad loss, if Kyrie goes full Kyrie and the Celtics say win game two in Milwaukee and come back here 1-1 with the Garden being completely out of control, raucous wild for some late Friday night game three, everything we're talking about, all these bad feelings, will go away.
Yeah.
And that's the point, is that the pressure is still going to be on those, the pressure on Milwaukee and or Toronto in a series against the Celtics in those first two games at home is extraordinary, especially when they've got to look and see Kyrie on the other side.
Which young guy do you worry about the worst once this thing shakes down?
Well, I think that the guy who has yet to show us what he can be this year, for the most part, has been Rozier. It's almost like, you know, that's one of those leading questions in court, right? Like, which of the young guys has been the worst? But I think that
you've seen,
Jaylen Brown has put together 3 or 4 weeks now to the point where, again, I'm not a big starting lineup tweak guy, whatever. It's about combinations of players playing together. Jaylen has been really, really good in this stretch. I think that, you know, Terry hasn't yet had the moments that he had so often last year to where we got spoiled and expected them. But again, now that I think we can forget about the one seed and the two seed or whatever, we got 20 games now to figure this out. We got some high level competition, and we'll see. If Terry doesn't have more, you know, games like last year, I think that that concern would be legitimate. But then again, you're talking about guys who don't have a track record. Well, certain guys don't have a track. Well, Terry Rozier does have a track record of great success in the playoffs, which he had last year. So
yeah, except for that whole Game 7 thing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Except for everybody in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, which game, it's so funny because that game just betrayed the season they had, because that game, they won that game all year last year until that last one, which they, you know, which they couldn't make a shot, and Jeff Green decided to finally have one great game in Boston. And he'll be back tomorrow.
We're talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics. Sean, I feel that in the last few days, Brad Stevens has faced more criticism than maybe at any other point in his Celtics coaching career. Danny Ainge sort of responded to that this morning on TNR, saying that, you know, he's the furthest thing from the problem with this team. What do you think he could be doing right now to maybe help the situation and stop the bleeding with the team?
If he has had trouble figuring it out and his basketball IQ goes beyond all the rest of ours combined, I think he's constantly looking at that. I think the funny thing was, people jump on the comment, I have to be better. If you don't think that Brad Stevens doesn't say, I have to be better driving home after a 20-point win, then you don't understand Brad Stevens. It's just something you say to take heat off the, you know, off everybody else and try to put the focus on yourself. I mean, everybody is, the time that I really saw Brad probably pressing the most in his time here was a time nobody was paying attention. It was the end of that first year when everything had gone completely south, and I think the Celtics finished something like 12-45 or 13-45, whatever, in that first year, 13-14. And he and the coaching staff, they were just killing themselves after all these losses. And fans didn't care because they wanted to lose games because you want to go in the lottery, and everybody knew it was a throwaway season. But, I'm not sure what else there is. You're going to try different things. Guys haven't – one of the issues – I know I'm backtracking, but here's something that kind of drives me crazy. I think it's really been a thing for him. Everyone's talking about, you got to make changes. You got to do this. I referenced earlier that 36-37-game stretch. That's it. That's not a 5-6-game stretch. That's nearly half a season where the Celtics were as good as anybody in the NBA. You could make a case for them being the best team in the league. When you have that much success over that period of time, you're going to be a little hesitant to make changes. I think it's taken a few of these games in a row to where you even want to bring changes into the conversation. And again, people have brought up that 2010 team that was so difficult to watch in the final two-thirds of the year and had so many bad nights, much worse than this team, and yet turned it on because they had been there. There's a lot of that, and then how many changes do you want to make knowing that at the end of the day, you know the guys you're going to have to rely on to beat Toronto and beat Milwaukee or beat Indiana or beat whoever you're going to have to beat in the playoff.
All right, Sean. Appreciate the time, as always.
Go Bees.
Cheer up. See you, bud.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Grandy joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
My time is limited. I don't know if it's going to be three, four, five, six years. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm on the tail end of my career for sure. And I want to get another ring, man. Winning the Super Bowl was probably, you know, one of the highlights of my career, or the highlight of my career. And I want to get back there so much more that's what the goal is. So I want to go into a good situation. I kind of want to have my cake and eat it at the same time. I want to go somewhere where they sling the ball a lot. They have a good quarterback. They have a good offensive line. They have a good offensive coordinator. I kind of want it all, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. As we know, free agency starts March and mid-March, so that's when the bidding starts. You know, I want to go into a good situation, man. I gotta kind of do a lot of thinking and praying on it and talking to my family. But ultimately, I want to go into, and I keep saying it, just a good situation.
Yeah.
That's Golden Tate on a podcast that was taped a couple of days ago.
With some mouth breather.
What?
Yeah.
What the guy talk?
Oh.
That was on the Pro Style podcast that Golden Tate appeared on. That was the first part about him talking about what he's looking for.
Earl Bennett's the host of the podcast. Former Bears receiver. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is receiver with the Bears. Earl Bennett. He went to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Earl Bennett on his Pro Style podcast. That was the first part of him talking about free agency. And Earl Bennett, being the smart guy that he is, doing a little podcast action. He asks a follow-up and says, gee, that situation... quarterback, coordinator, where they throw the ball a lot.
Yep.
Win. You want to win? You want to win a Super Bowl? Gee, that sounds a lot like New England. Here's the follow-up Q&A.
Man, I would love it. I would love it. That organization, they've proven to be champions year in and year out.
Yep.
You know, they work hard, for sure. But you know where you're going to be at the end of the season. You're going to be looking at, you know, not going to playoffs, but you're going to be looking at maybe a first-round bye.
For sure.
Which is key. But, you know, you got to admire that organization. They do things right, and they've been doing it for a long, long, long time. And so I definitely love to be a part of something like that and definitely catch a few passes from old Tommy boy.
Old Tom.
Julian is a buddy of mine, so I'm real good buddies with him. And I've heard good things. Calvin Noy, who got traded from Detroit. And went there and has been balling out since. Has said great things about the organization. So I definitely would not mind going over there for sure.
As long as they pay me.
See, he said love three times.
Three times.
Tommy Boy. Because the excerpt that I read was just, you know, like I'd love to catch some pass from him and his ball about Tom Brady, but that's about the organization. He's talking about the
great
team.
Things about it. He's talking about Van Noy. He's talking about Julian Edelman's a buddy of mine.
He's talking about.
Got to have this though.
Of course,
he's the top guy in the market. He's top guy in the market.
Any smart free agent gets asked about a team. Right. He says, "Oh, I'd love to play for them."
You say, "Well, New England's never going to jump in. They never get the top guy."
But
it was Stephon.
But before he was even talking about teams, he said, "You know," and what he said was, "I want my cake and eat it too," meaning. I want to win, but I also want to get paid.
Right.
I want to do both.
Right.
I want to get paid to go to a winning team. Well, there's a team that does need help at the receiver position and will probably pay some money for
especially
it this offseason.
Especially if you lose Gronk.
What's smarter right now? You know, trading your picks or high picks and going after a guy like Odell Beckham, or is it paying just money and signing a free agent? The smarter move is just going to pay some money in the market and get a guy like Golden Tate.
Stephon Gilmore.
And that's a more Patriot-like move than the, you know, crazy. I know we've talked about it because it's fun to talk about, but that'd be crazy if they pulled off a move for Odell Beckham Jr., right? That'd be nuts.
You've got a two straight Super Bowl since you acquired Stephon Gilmore, the top guy in the market. Went in there day one, 9 o'clock in the morning at free agency, said, we're signing this guy. We're paying him what he wants. And they did it. They've never really done it at the receiver position. They had to go trade for Randy Moss on draft day.
Yep.
That's something different. And Randy was at the tail end there, like Golden Tate is. But here's the problem. He said, I'm not talking over my family. You're going to sit there, okay, well, honey, we got this team offering $46 million. Patriots are offering $34 million, that's $12 million difference. What do you want to do? I want to go get $12 million. Let's go there. Okay. That's what a family's going to do. Family's going to always decide for the money. So if it's more on the player, then maybe you got a shot at getting him because that's really what he wants. If you really want to win, if you don't want to play on a 9-7 team or an 8-8 team, he's already talking about, man, if I go there, I'm going to have a bye week. I'm going to actually have a bye week. Yeah, and first round of the playoffs. That's Phil Perry,
who is, you know, great NFL reporter here locally, NBC Sports Boston, friend of the program, appears every Friday during the season. Phil Perry was saying last night that he believes, because he is the best name on the market, because it's thin at that position, that he could command as much as $9, maybe $10 million. So let's play this game. If the best offer is $9 million elsewhere, and it's 7.75.
I was getting a seven and change.
Right?
Yeah.
Does he lean here versus that $9 million offer with a bad team?
But there's another thing you need to realize too. You're going to go out there and you're going to pay that type of money, whether it's a Beckham or whether it's a Golden Tate. You get a guy like Edelman that is puked his guts out and put his nuts out there on the line for you for three rings here.
He's about five million.
He's got to get a bump. You got to bump it.
So give him a bump.
That's what I'm saying. So
have a bump.
It's not only bring a guy in, and we got to take care of Edelman too.
Marty,
because
need a boost. That guy. Give a guy a boost. There you go.
All right. I'm looking, because I like to, you know, factor this in.
You factor it.
Golden Tate's career earnings.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, and again, when it was Darrell Revis, you know, making his decision whether or not to stay with the Patriots, score somewhere, he went back to the Jets and were like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, you would do it too for an extra, you know, $20 million guaranteed. But he had already made $70 million in his career.
Golden Tate right now is coming off a five-year deal that he signed in Detroit, eventually traded to the Eagles. The five-year deal that just ended was a five-year $31 million deal.
That's an Amendola-type deal when Amendola came here.
So to me, the difference of, let's call it another $1.5 million on top of the $30 million that you've already made.
Right.
And again, easy for us to say. It's all play money.
Right.
It's more money than, you know, we can all reasonably think of, except for Zoe.
Yep.
We're net worth $12 million.
$9 million.
But for the rest of us, you'd say, yeah, you go someplace where you can win. This is a guy who played for years with the Lions.
He won a Super Bowl. His last year in Seattle, when they beat the Broncos,
and he knows how good that is, as opposed to being on a team that can't make the playoffs.
It's a good point. He does. He knows what it's like, and he wants to get that again. He wants to feel that again.
How much does he value that? And being in a system and in a place where he already knows guys, and he's heard good things, and he's got a quarterback there that he wants to play with.
Yeah. Well, he's also going to be 31 this coming year. Okay, and so he's not young, and If I were a player now entering your 30s, I think something that these guys always need to factor in, and someone like him should factor in, what am I going to do this coming year for your team that's going to continue me playing and extending my career and staying a big part of your team and your offense and continuing to earn the money?
Right.
Because when you sign a contract at 31, there ain't much guaranteed. Not in terms of the guaranteed dollar, but in terms of how much longer you're going to play. Nothing at that. Once you're in your 30s in this league, outside of maybe quarterbacks now, nothing is really a given. You sign a four-year deal at 31. There's no reason to believe that you're going to see the fourth year of it or even the third year of it in a lot of guys' cases. So you've got to also factor in, what am I going to do there and how well will I produce in the given spot I land to continue to stay in the league and continuing to earn the money that's on my contract? This, to me, would be a great landing spot for him for that very reason. You want to extend your career? You want to keep being a valuable player? Go to a place that's going to use you.
Go to New England.
You're going to love it.
And you know he's going to be utilized here.
Yes.
And I don't know where Zoe is this hour on whether or not he thinks Rob Gronkowski is coming back. I haven't seen or heard anything to change my mind from months ago when I thought he was done. So especially if Rob Gronkowski's gone, yeah, you're going to be utilized here. You can all but guarantee it.
Ooh, I'm looking at Edelman's base salary this coming year.
What's he up to?
Oh, my God. It's $2 million.
That's an insult.
Oh, God.
That's an insult.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, you got to worry about
him. He's got $2 million base salary. He's got a $500,000 roster bonus, a $500,000 workout bonus. So he's got $3 million in his prorated bonus money, which is already out, is 1.6.
You know what? I'm not going to goof on anything he does anymore, JE11 or anything else.
Sell anything.
Go, yes, by all means. Yep. He's playing for that money.
Yep. Yeah.
Good grief.
Well, you got to give him a boost.
You have to.
Man needs a boost.
Well, no. You don't have to. Dang. You should.
Well, if you're going to go in the receiver market and bring in those types.
Well, is it right for Julian Edelman to have a lower base salary next year than Daron Harmon?
It doesn't feel that way,
doesn't
no.
feel
you guys
like a meritocracy, if you will.
We spent a season talking about Hogan to where, you know, the value for Hogan.
And that's not to put down Daron Harmon. I love Daron Harmon. Clutch as hell. But, wow.
Yeah.
$2.5 million for Daron Harmon. Adrian Claiborne on the books for 3.5 base salary. Yeah, good luck finding that money, dude. Good luck. Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.